Well, good evening. Good evening. There you go. I can hear you now. So, but just for those of you who did not realize, it was prom weekend in Russellville, Arkansas. And I think half the town's in between here and Searcy. I did see something yesterday that I don't think I've ever seen before. We were driving from Searcy to Heber to go visit my brother yesterday, and you know, they take prom pictures just about anywhere, right? This is the first time I've ever seen this. There was four young ladies all dressed up, had on their nice little outfits, their dresses, and mom was standing there with the cell phone getting ready to take a picture. They were all leaned on each other, had their hands on each other's shoulders, like kind of lined up like turtles, it looked like. I've never seen people take pictures at the gas station in Poen, Arkansas. It was a little weird. That is not the place that I would think of prom pictures being taken with gas pumps in the background. But, you know, if you're looking for an expensive place to take pictures, I guess that's better than anything at this point in time. So we're still in Joshua. It's where we've been for the past couple of weeks. And I think Brother Doug's going to finish this up sometime soon with Joshua. But tonight we're going to be in Joshua chapter 7 is where we're going to be. Brother Michael got us through a great victory this morning in Jericho, where the walls came down, and God had a great victory there. And so we're going to look at Joshua chapter 7. Tell you a little story about myself, and hopefully it correlates well with what we're going to talk about tonight. When I was a kid, we moved to Jacksonville, and we lived in the parsonage. And the pastor before Dad, you know, like most good Baptist preachers, had a garden, right? And in our backyard was separated by a chain link fence, and then you had another area that was the garden. At least that's where Dad put it, and the guy before him, that's where he put it. So he had left a garden, and when we moved there, it was the end of growing season, and there was still a few things growing in this garden spot, namely broccoli. Anybody like broccoli? Man, I can eat broccoli now, and I couldn't really eat it as a kid, but unless you put cheese sauce on top of it, and I could eat just about anything. But there was some broccoli left growing in there. And I don't know if you've ever seen broccoli grow in a garden or not, but as I remember it, I've never grown it myself, but, you know, it's a little stalk like this, and the broccoli's coming off of it. And being the good child that I was, Dad said, "Leave that alone, boy." I listened until I found the perfect limb. That wasn't the one to get whipped with. The perfect limb. It wasn't just any old limb. It was a limb that was the perfect size, the perfect shape, and it had a perfect L shape to it. Now, some of y'all might know where this is going. If you take a limb that looks like this, and it's got a little bitty short spot on the end like a L, Brother Lee, you know what I'm talking about. You like to play this game. And it was perfect for swinging, which I like to do. Swing baseball bats, all kinds of stuff. I was just a good boy. And, of course, what do you do with a perfect limb? You have a natural inclination to yell four. And so I go out into the garden, and I yell four. And I take lots of practice swings with what's left of this broccoli bushes. I guess they're bushes, plants, whatever they are. And it was, you know, they were the perfect height, setting off the perfect tee. I had the perfect stick. I think I had that stick for a long time. It was one of those that came down, had a knot on the end and kind of bent. Did you know that those broccoli heads look like a perfect golf ball for a 10-year-old? Perfect golf ball. And so you can only imagine what happened at this point. There was great destruction. I started swinging away, tearing those up. I made holes in ones all day long. Until I remembered a few things. And one of them started out with my mom yelling, "Junior!" Now, she called Dad that, and that's about what it sounded like, a little bit more high-pitched, and I went, uh-oh. So she called Dad, and Dad's word came back like a bolt of lightning. "Boy, leave that alone." It didn't matter how many holes and ones I made, I found my way to the closest pole on the side of that house that was over the awning, and climbed up to the roof. I thought, man, I could get up there, everything would be okay. That's not true. there was still a belt in my future. Didn't matter how long I hid up there, how quiet I was, I still had to come down. I still had to suffer the punishment for what I did, for that disobedience that I had from what Dad had told me to do. Leave the broccoli alone. And so I had to suffer for that. And so we look in Joshua chapter, make sure I got the right one here. Yes, ma'am. But that's not what I was looking for. Joshua chapter 7, verses 17 through 19, I think is correct here, that I want to read to you real quick. That is not correct. I think it's chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. No, that's not it either. I'm sorry. I'll read the scripture and we'll find it here in a second. How's that? God told the nation of Israel, He said this, "The city shall be under the ban, and it and all its belongings to the Lord." Now, He was talking about the city of Jericho. "Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers from whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them. And take some of the things under the ban, and make a camp of Israel, accursed and trouble on it. But all silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." That's somewhere in chapter 6. I think, I can't remember, I'm sorry, I wrote down the wrong number, and I'm not going to stand up here and try to figure it out. Thank you. Chapter 6, 17 through 19. There we go. There, that's where we're at. Chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. I just put down the wrong chapter number in front of it. Y'all please forgive me. But this is the ban. This is what God said to do. God said, "We're going to destroy Jericho. We're going to have a great battle. But everything that's there, leave it. If it's taken, it's all going to go into the treasury. It's all going to be for God's use, but don't you take any of it unless you make your nation accursed." And I kind of look back and I think, Dad said, "Don't touch the broccoli." And I beat the thunderation out of that broccoli. And I still had to suffer punishment for disobedience. Now we look at the nation of Israel, and we're going to get into chapter 7 now. And we're going to read verses 1 through 15. I do have those correct. Verses 1 through 15. And if you'll stand, we'll read those. And we see where the nation of Israel has done some things, and it's going to cause some great issues in what God's plans are. And I need you to understand that when we cause issues and we do things that God says not to do, it causes difficulties in our lives, in other people's lives. And so let's read Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 15. "But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, in the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Bethaven, east of Bethel, and said to them, 'Go up and spy out the land.' So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai.'" Now I need y'all to remember, the whole nation of Israel, God used them to conquer Jericho. And these men said, these guys are pushovers. They're small. You just need to take a whole little group. We got this." He said, "Do not let all the people go up, but only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few." Verse 4, "So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shrearim, and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. Joshua said, 'Alas, O Lord God, why did you bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, What can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. And they have taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their back before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. In the morning, then you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families. And the family which the Lord shall come near by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And it shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, he and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. Brother Mike, would you lead us as we pray? Amen. You may be seated. Chapter 7 starts out with this phrase, but the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully. Who did they act unfaithfully to? To God. They acted unfaithfully to God. And I want you to take a moment of self-reflection right here. Have you acted unfaithfully to God? I'm honest, yes. I have. Throughout my life, I've acted unfaithfully to God, and hopefully you're honest to yourself the same way. Because we have. As Christians, we have acted unfaithfully to God, and if you don't believe me, look at the world that we live in that say we live in a country that's supposed to be founded on God and the Bible. But look what it is right now. We've acted unfaithfully to God. We have not possessed the land like we were supposed to. We have not done the things that we're supposed to. In regard to the things under the ban, things were taken. Things were hidden. In verse 7 it says, Joshua said, alas, O Lord, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? You know, if I remember what the Scripture says, God said, go possess the land. Did He not? And Joshua was looking at Him going, Lord, why did you bring us here? For these Amorites, for all this land to destroy us. We just lost against this little bitty town. You know, God said, do this. And the nation of Israel did something counterproductive to that. And I see that so many times in my life. God has said to do something, and I've done something counterproductive to it. And I've lost a seemingly small battle. But really, it's a great deal. When I do things that God doesn't want me to do, it doesn't matter if the battle is huge or if it's just a small pebble in my way. If I lose because I've done something God doesn't want me to, I have acted unfaithfully. Joshua said, why did you bring us here to destroy us? Just because a great battle was won does not mean that you should go into the next unprepared. Great battles. How many of you feel like victory is in a battle right now? In a number of things. We're in a battle. I'm not talking about we're fixing a WWE in here. I'm talking about this church is in a battle with the world that we live in. How we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to present ourselves, we are in a battle. And Joshua said, Lord, why did you bring us here to destroy us? You see, it wasn't the fact that their battle was not supposed to happen. Joshua had great self-confidence, and so did the nation of Israel. Just don't take everybody. Just take a couple of thousand. We'll whip them. No big deal. Self-confidence will get you a lot of places, but it'll also get you in trouble. There's a thin line about being cocky and self-confident. And sometimes I cross that line, just like everybody else does. Self-confidence. Dependence on human wisdom. Man, you send spies over? Didn't Joshua send some spies over? He said, yeah, go take it. He sent some real smart ones over there this time, right? Didn't have 10 to come back and say, yeah, we can't do this. But the smart ones went over. Dependence on human wisdom. We don't need everybody. We'll just go and do it. What did they leave out? They left out God. They didn't ask God what He wanted them to do. I don't want to depend on my human wisdom because I'm not very smart. I got a lot of pieces of paper on my wall, but I'm not very smart. If I leave God out, I've left out everything. They had great impatience. Just go and do it. Not wait on the Lord. I didn't see where they prayed about it. They didn't go and attack with prayer and God's direction. They just went. And the biggest thing that kept them from winning a battle at Ai at that moment was the secret sin. The secret sin. I want you to stop and take another self-reflection moment right now. What's keeping you from winning battles that you should win in God's name? What secret sin do you have that's keeping you from doing the things that you should do? That's hard. If we sit and we think about what our life is and the things that we do, we all have secret sins. We all have things in our life that block God's direction and God's blessing. Guys, I want to win battles for God. I don't want to win them for me. I want my secret sins to be gone. Every one of them. And I got to let them go. See, the second thing that the nation of Israel here needed to understand, that overconfidence is a killer. I told you a while ago, there's a fine line between being conceited and self-confident, right? Overconfidence is a killer. And the nation of Israel thought God had given them this great battle. Brother Michael said, that great battle plan this morning, that everybody would follow just at a heartbeat, just go march around and then go back to camp. Go march around and go back to camp. Do that for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around 7 times, yell real loud, and the walls would come down. That's what they saw. What part of the nation of Israel did they have to do that with? As Michael told you this morning, obedience. All they had to do is obey God. And they won a great battle. But they forgot God. Overconfidence is a killer. In verses 8 through 9, it says, O Lord, what can I say, since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? You ever thought about that for just a second? Joshua is worried about what this defeat is going to do to the nation they're supposed to conquer. How it's going to make his God look in their eyes. You know, everybody's heard about Jericho. I promise you. They all knew it was coming, but this little city of Ai defeated them, ran them off, made them, their hearts turn to water. They just melted. Lord, what's this going to do to everybody that we're supposed to go conquer? They're not going to be afraid of us anymore. They're not going to be afraid of your power. They're not going to be afraid. Lord, what are you going to do for your great name? Joshua was more concerned about the glory of the Lord and the testimony of Israel before all of these heathen nations than he was about the discouragement of defeat. I think this is a very important point for us to understand. When we are defeated in battle, and it's our fault, Do you ever worry about how people are going to perceive God from that point on when you talk to them about it? Joshua was. Joshua was worried about how everybody was going to see the great God that he worshiped, the God that he served, the creator of everything. He was worried about that. Are we concerned about how our actions affect others and how others view God's power? We need to be concerned about that. We need to fight battles with strength that only comes from God, so people can see His power and His might, and not ours, not our overconfidence. In verse 10, God replied with, "Rise up! Get up! I still got work for you to do. Rise up! Get up and find out why you were defeated." Man, those self-reflection moments that I gave you all ago, how many of you felt really good about those? Did you really do self-reflection, or are you just waiting until I'm hushed? Think about your life. When God looks at me and says, "Kelly, get up. I'm not finished with you. Get up, but you need to figure out why you were defeated today." And I look and go, "Oh, Lord, this right here is why I was defeated. Or this is why I was defeated." It's not something I got to go searching for. I know exactly why I was defeated in that battle. Because I know my life. I may hide sin, but I know exactly what causes defeat. And if I'm hiding sin and I have a sinful nature and I have a sinful life, then I am disobedient to God, and I need to clear that up. I need to ask Him to forgive me for those. You see, He said, "Get up and find out why you were defeated." And in verse 12, He said, "I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the sin." Wow. How crazy is that? I told you to go possess the land, but until you destroy the sin, it's not going to happen. Get up and destroy the sin. And when He said destroy the sin, what He said was, get rid of it completely. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. So I'm asking you a question right here. Are you ready to destroy the sin that separates you from the power of God? Or you just want to hold on to it longer? Are you ready to destroy that sin? In verse 15 it says, "It shall be the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire and all that belongs to him." You see, He brought the nation through. It went tribe by tribe. It went family by family. Went man by man, and it fell on one man. And he admitted it. Isn't that the greatest thing about that? I didn't read these scriptures to you. In verse 19 of chapter 7 it says, "Now Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, I beg you, give glory to God, God of Israel, and make confession to Him, and tell me now what you have done. And do not hide it from me.'" See, the crazy thing about that is, they all came before the Lord. They all came before Joshua, and the Lord pointed out who it was. Whose sin caused the defeat? The only thing that Achan could do was say, "It was me." That was it. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel. And this is what I've done." He coveted so much stuff that he saw. He went and he hid it. And if you'll read the rest of the chapter, I'm not going to read all that to you. Achan lost his life. Not only did Achan lose his life, his family lost his life. His donkeys lost his life. Everything that he had, even his tent, it all was burned up and rocks piled on top of it. For a hidden sin that caused defeat. Guys, I don't want my hidden sin to cause a defeat for victory. And I hope you feel the same way. That what's going on in my life causes this church to fail. To cause this nation to fail. I don't want that to happen. And we need to remove our secret sins. Not only did God point it out, not only did He say remove it, He said get rid of it And the same thing that happened here, goodness, I don't live under the law of Moses anymore. The same thing can happen to us. We can lose our lives. If we are disobedient to God enough, I believe He'll take us home. I believe He will take us home. Sin will keep you out of God's will. 100%, completely, it will keep you out of God's will. An individual sin affects more than the individual. Achan's sin was individual. Did his family know about this? I'm quite sure he went and hid it in his tent. I know a lot of things about lots of people that I don't share. Just like you know lots of things about lots of people that you don't share, right? How do we put this? We're nosy, right? We like to get all the good gossip and know about people's lives and know how we compare to them. Guys, I really don't care about how I compare to you. I'm a sinner and so are you, and that we're even. But my individual sin will affect everybody I come in contact with. My individual sin will affect my family, which in turn will be revisited later on down in generations. We need to remove our secret sin. Achan said, I have sinned, I have coveted, and I have taken the spoils from Jericho. They took him out to the Valley of Achor and stoned him, burned him, and covered him up. The place that was called the Valley of Achor was the Valley of Trouble in memory of the trouble Achan had brought to the people. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 15, it says, Then I will give her vineyards from there, and the Valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she will sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. You see, Hosea chapter 2, verses 15, it says, It promises that God will make the Valley of Achor a door of hope for the Jews. You see, that's where it was finished. That's where the sin was taken care of. And it's a door of hope for the Jews. From that point on, I don't want to get into the rest of Joshua, but they went and defeated Ai. They went and took the land. They did what God wanted them to. And the same thing, we find a place at the cross where we have a door of hope. Where our secret sins, where all our sins comes to one point. And that's where Jesus Christ came and He died for us. You see, secret sins are not hidden from anybody. You may think you hide them. Like I said, we're nosy. But God knows everything. You might find yourself in a valley of destruction today. But guys, I'm going to tell you, there is great hope for tomorrow. But you have to take care of it today if you want to see tomorrow. I'm just going to be honest with you because you're not guaranteed that. I have great hope for tomorrow. Do you know why I have great hope for tomorrow? Because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about today. Because if it all goes away right now, I'm in heaven with Him like that. Because of that decision I've made. Great door of hope. Things change when our secret sins are confessed. And they're put out in the open for God to see. Yeah, just like me taking that nice little stick and swinging away at the broccoli. I still had to suffer with the belt because I disobeyed my father. God's belt's a little bit stronger than WK's. And it hurts a little bit more than WK's. And I can't reach back and grab a hold of it and do my best high jump move and get over the belt. Because God's punishment, I still have to suffer for the things that I've done. But praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ covers my sin. And I don't have to spend eternity in hell. And I hope that's where you find yourself tonight. That God's blood has covered your life and covered your sins. And you have made that decision. And you don't have to spend eternity in hell. I'm going to ask that you just bow your heads for just a moment. while you're bowing, those moments of self-reflection that I asked you about during this time, I want you to think about those. What secret sins do you have in your life? What things that are causing you to lose battles? You know what they are. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to ask God to remove them from your lives. Completely remove them. Not something that you want to hold on to, not something that you can reach out and grasp tomorrow, but they are completely removed tonight. And you've given them to God. I want victory to win battles. I want this church to be a church that is known far and wide, not for these people that are here, but for the power of God that lives in us. Lord, help us win battles. Lord, help us give everything that we have to You that we do not need in our lives. Father, I just come to You now and ask Your blessings upon this night, on this day. Father, that You would give us grace. Father, I praise You for the grace that You have given us, for the shed blood that You gave us on the cross. Father, for our lives, I just ask that You would fill them. Not that we would keep ourselves from You, but Father, we would let You just be complete control of our lives. Father, give us courage too. Courage not only to fight battles, the courage to say, Lord, this is why I'm losing a battle, because I have disobeyed You and I'm holding on to this sin. Father, just ask that You'd help us remove that. Father, I thank You for all that You've done for us, for this church. Just ask that You'd bless her. Father, I love You and I praise You.